Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, your daily message of hope. As we're in the month of June, every message of hope will focus on one invocation from the Litany of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I invite you to recall and keep in mind that the month of June is dedicated to the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the divine and sacred heart of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today, as we meditate upon the invocation, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all Hearts, I invite you to remember that these invocations come from the Litany of the Most Sacred Heart, a beautiful, powerful prayer that is commonly prayed frequently before Holy Mass or at the end of Holy Mass in parish churches throughout the world. So these invocations are taken from the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Any litany begins by seeking the mercy of God. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Today, we enter into the invocation, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all Hearts, have mercy on us. I'm joined by one of our seminarians from the Diocese of Columbus, Sam Severance.
Hi, everyone. Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, Father.
Sam, you chose the invocation for today's meditation, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all Hearts, from the different invocations within the Litany of the Sacred Heart. What drew your attention to that particular title of the Lord, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all Hearts?
Yeah, obviously all of them are worthy of drawing attention to, but I picked this one because, you know, you asked me to pick a few that I thought were stuck out to me, and that one really did immediately when I saw it, because I know this is like something that a lot of people say, but like Christ is like that thing that we're searching for, right? That all human hearts are going for. They're searching for fulfillment. They're searching for peace. And that ultimately lies in Christ. And so that's why that one really stuck out to me.
Mm. When St. John Paul II, he spoke a little bit about this invocation that you chose on August 25th in 1985. And he said, Heart of Jesus, King and Center of all Hearts, Jesus Christ is King of all hearts. We know that during his messianic activity in Palestine, the people, seeing the signs that he had performed, they wanted to proclaim him king. They saw in Christ a true descendant of David, during whose reign Israel was at the height of its splendor. So they saw Jesus. They saw how he was loving them, speaking to them, teaching them, correcting them, and they wanted to make him the king of their hearts. And you highlight how even today, especially today, each one of us has in our hearts that need to acknowledge who rules there, who has dominion. And as you highlight, you know, we're all searching for that king. And the Lord Jesus makes his Sacred Heart available to us to be, in truth, the king and center of our hearts. Sam, when you were growing up, or when you were in high school or in college, or now that you're in seminary, and you think back about the growth you've experienced in your own spiritual life, what comes to your mind when you think of how you have related to the Lord as the center of your heart or as the king and center of your heart?
Yeah. Well, I guess a couple things come to mind. A couple things come to mind. So, you know, as I was growing up, it was kind of this new type of atmosphere around like the younger generation, because we had technology at our hands in a way that we really never had before. So I remember that most of our time is being dominated by things online and things going on within the popular culture pertaining to that. And that was really what we're all drawn to. And I remember as a young man kind of being attracted to that, right? Attracted to different things in the popular culture and things going on just around, you know, my friends and whatnot. But there was a moment where, you know, I was in college or so, I think that's probably where that I really started to understand that, you know, these things that I put my attention to aren't necessarily the things that are going to fulfill me. They aren't the things that are going to bring peace to my heart. And also at this time, I think it's important that I was kind of running from a vocation, right? I maybe felt that call to the priesthood, but I was rather nervous about that. And I remember like distinctly when I decided, okay, Lord, I'll surrender to this call, I'll surrender to this vocation you have for me, just the peace that brought to me, you know, the turmoil that was going on in my heart just kind of almost left. I mean, not completely, obviously, sure. But there was something, there was a peacefulness of saying, okay, I'm going to do what the Lord wants.
Yeah.
And that is what kind of resonates to me to this day, right? And that's what stuck out at that particular line in the Sacred Heart Litany.
Yeah. In John's Gospel in the 18th chapter, there's that conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" And the Lord Jesus of Nazareth responds, "My kingship is not of this world. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So when you consider about what you just said, you know, technology is something that fascinates all of us. Technology is something that we can easily become consumed by, but technology is very much of this world.
Right.
And you can fill yourself and you can fill yourself and you can fill yourself and still realize there's a void, because it's, you're filling yourself with something of the world. But Jesus says, you know, my kingship is not of this world, which, you know, intuits the statement that we have to realize that we're not of this world. You know, we're made for something more, someone more, and somewhere else. When you consider your friends, your peers, you're in your 20s?
Yeah, I'm 25.
You're 25.
Yeah.
Prime of life. So when you consider your peers, your classmates, maybe from high school or college, and you have conversations with them, and you guys are speaking about what's important in life. Maybe some of your friends are probably at the age where they're either already married or are getting married.
Right, yeah.
Discerning. So there's, I mean, in some way, shape, or form, there's going to be a conversation about what's important in life. And you think of your own journey, and you think of how you had to face the facts of, well, I was seeking a kingdom of this world, but Jesus reminds me that his kingdom is not of this world. And you've made a choice to be faithful day in and day out. And of course, we all know that choice has to be made every morning and every midday and every evening. But how do you respond to your peers when they're wrestling with that question of what is important?
Right. Okay. One of the things that I like to start is to let them know that, you know, the church doesn't believe that this world is bad, right? The things in this world are not bad, right? Because God created everything in the world, so therefore it has to be good. And as far as like technology goes, technology is a great thing. We use that as an example, but we're using technology here to bring these messages to you.
Exactly.
So I guess that's where I start, right? The things that you are interested in they're not bad things. They're good, but there has to be like a rightly ordering of these things, right? It can't just be, you can't be too heavy on the material world, because if you're too heavy on the material world, you're distracted from, you know, your supernatural end of being in heaven with our Heavenly Father, right? So that's what I like to go with my friends, is to not let them think that, okay, everything in this world is bad, but right, that you have to be looking forward to your next life and to our next world in heaven with the Lord.
How, in your estimation, when you were growing up, were you familiar with the reality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
No.
What about your peers?
You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I assume some of my peers did know that. But the guys I was with on a immediate day-to-day basis, we didn't really talk about that much. I wouldn't say.
It's a very strange part of life in the church today. It's just how few people are aware of the great treasure that is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that's all people. I mean, it's, you know, people in the pews, people at home, moms, dads, married couples, children, teenagers, college students, and even a lot of priests and sisters. There's just that profound ignorance today of the wealth, the treasure trove that is the heart of Jesus. You've been in seminary now for 2 years, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So in your 2 years of seminary, and now you're going to be moving into what we call major seminary or theology. You know, how have you come to know more of the Sacred Heart of Jesus yourself?
Yeah. So for me personally, I would say, you know, when we talk about the Sacred Heart, you talk about how Christ knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to have emotions and to deal with certain things on a day-to-day basis as we do, because, you know, Christ joined our humanity. That's what God decided, he was going to become one of us so that we could become like him. So when I'm in seminary, I'm able to grow closer to Christ and closer to who I'm supposed to be. You know, I understand that better because I know Christ. And that's what the Sacred Heart means to me, I guess. And I can kind of cling to him in a way, right? In a unique way. And that's what maybe separates the Catholic faith from a lot of different faiths, is that our God became one of us. So he knows what it's like to be us. So as a young man who's maybe, you know, not frightened by the priesthood, but at least nervous.
A holy fear.
Right. You know, that's something to know that Christ is there for me. He's there to help me through it. And he knows how I feel in a way. Right. So that's how I've grown with the Sacred Heart, I think.
So during this message of hope today, we have been spending this time together, meditating upon, thinking about, unpacking the invocation from the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's the 13th invocation, and it's called Heart of Jesus, King and Center of All Hearts. There are 33 different invocations for the Heart of Jesus found in the Litany of the Most Sacred Heart. And that gives us a beautiful opportunity every day during this month of the Sacred Heart, this month of June, to just consider a different invocation from the Litany of the Sacred Heart. I invite you, as we bring to a close this message of hope, I invite you to look up the Litany of the Sacred Heart and consider praying it every day during the month of June that's left of it. May the Lord give you his peace.